Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Hey, what do you say we do a show? 6 o'clock on The Fan and CBS Sports Network on a Thursday morning. The Boomer and Geo show. G out until Monday as he enjoys his family vacation out on Fire Island. So the Booms joins me for the next 4 hours, or really I join him, not my show, his. And it's a weird day. It's weird because it's a ho-hum day for the Yankees, who just beat up on the Orioles and continue to do so, and good for them. It's exactly what they're supposed to do. Garrett Cole wins again. The Mets just blow another atrocious game, this one to the Red Sox. That one, so many things wrong with that game. You have the start of the NBA tonight. For some, there's buzz. For others, like Al, no buzz. He says that because his mom's not interested. And you've got the Islanders and Rangers on the ice last night with Shesterkin and the Isles, and that's coming this weekend as well. There is a lot going on. The product on the ice made this man very happy. His name is Boomer Esiason, and he's a handsome SOB, and we say good morning to him, sir.
That's very nice, Jerry. Good morning, and it's our show. It's not my show. We're all in this together, as you and Al... I think show every morning between 5 and 6 as you lead into our show. And then every now and again, CeeLo brings something to the table. Not much, but something.
No, he brings a lot. He's great.
Well, and then, you know, well, he's still with his mom and dad on vacation. So true. We'll just let that slide and let that go. But
you're not letting it go.
Here's the deal. I was annoyed by the Mets because the Mets had a chance to win in the bottom of the ninth. They had Conforto. They had Cespedes. They had Cano. Strikeout, and then a weak liner to shortstop. Now, obviously, Cespedes hit the home run, and Cano had two hits again last night. Yep. It's hard to just kill them, but you know the game's on their bats late in the game, bases loaded, nobody out. You got to win the game. You got to win the game there, and unfortunately, they don't win it. And DeGrom didn't have his best stuff. I don't know if Garrett Cole really had his best stuff either.
Didn't need it though.
He didn't need it because they're playing the Orioles. They've beaten the Orioles like 17 times in Baltimore in a row.
Yeah.
In a row.
I know.
That's unbelievable. That is domination. And, of course, DJ LeMahieu is back and better than ever. He's batting .500 since he's been back. And Judge hits another home run. And thank God they get to play the Baltimore Generals or whatever the hell they're called these days.
It's for them. You're right.
Right. So I was very disappointed that the previous show ended because I wanted to hear about Ellen DeGeneres. But I'll wait until, like, The View comes on a little bit later and I'll check it out.
Or the podcast. But, we do that, too, every day.
Yeah, podcast, too. So here's the problem with the NFL right now. You have 40 players who have opted out, and you have 51 players that are on the COVID-19 list. So if you add that up, that's 91 players, Jerry.
It's a full training camp squad.
Right. And the interesting thing about the players opting out, and every player has a different reason, and I think it's some of the reactions by the fans towards the players that are opting out. Are getting a little bit, over the top, I think, in terms of nastiness. Mm-hmm. But there is one player in particular that I think if we were in his situation, we would do the same thing. And that's Nate Solder, the starting left tackle for the New York Giants. Probably one of the reasons why Dave Gettleman drafted Andrew Thomas was, you know, maybe he thought that there was a good chance that Nate Solder would not play this year. And unlike other sports where Nick Markakis is coming back, for Atlanta because he feels guilty about his team, you know, starting 2-3. Once you opt out in the NFL, you are out. You're done. And if you're a high-risk guy, you get $350,000. If you're a low-risk guy, you get $150,000. So I would think, like, if you are, like, number 79 or number 78 on a team's roster going into training
See
camp,
ya.
And like, and then chances of you making the team are not very good, I'd opt out. I'd get the money.
100%.
Why would I put myself through this craziness? But here's, like, the thing about opting out is that these players that are opting out are still living in society. It's not like they're living in a bubble. they're still going to be going to do what they're going to go do. I mean, going to the supermarket, maybe going to a restaurant, picking up something, whatever. And there's still a very good chance they could get it. I'm just assuming that they just don't want to put themselves in a situation where they believe that they will get it. And they're opting out and they're leaving a lot of money on the table. So when you have all these guys that are opting out, you now have 40 new jobs open in the NFL, which is good for players who most likely probably wouldn't made the team. So the NFL is really in a weird spot right now when you think about the amount of players that are affected by this.
The NFL is the one league that gave us hope back in April. They went forward with the draft. They went forward with free agency when there was nothing to talk about other than coronavirus. At least for what we do, we had the NFL. You had the comforts of talking about who's going where, who's getting what contract, who's selecting who. Tom Brady to Tampa. Oh my God, the world, you know, the world is changing. And it's amazing that it's the one sport, and I have believed this the entire time. I will continue to say, I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope September 10th that we are watching a football game. But it really, to me, is, I believe, the hardest sport to get back on the field just because of the constant contact. You've got literally on every single play, you've got five guys on the snap of the football going head-to-head, exchanging spit and, you know, really, and because that's just the way the game is. I don't understand how you can play this game without having a breakout if, in fact, you can't put them in cities and protect them the way the NHL is doing and the way the NBA is doing. Well, and I get it. It's not feasible, I guess. I don't know how you play otherwise.
Well, the one thing I will say, watching the NBA and watching, you know, the NHL and watching what I thought was a decent game last night between the Rangers and the Islanders. It wasn't a great game, but it was, you know, it was pretty fast. It was, you saw the jump in most of the guys' legs. The Rangers had a good first, you know, 30 minutes, a period and a half, and the Islanders had a really good defensive performance like they normally would. And Varlamov, their goalie, was very good. Shesterkin really didn't even get tested, and when he finally did get tested, it was a mistake on Adam Fox's part that led to a 2-1, and he gave up an easy goal. But when you're watching those games, those guys are right on top of each other, and they're sitting right next to each other on the bench.
But they can.
I know, because they're all clear.
Yeah.
Nobody has COVID-19, I understand that. As opposed to, you know, football and what they're dealing with and how they're trying to control it.
On that note, let me ask you this. Do you think that the NHL or the NBA would be as successful as they're being up to this point with controlling the virus if they were home playing?
You know, they probably wouldn't be, but
no.
You know, I'm watching baseball. There's really one team with an outbreak. And, you know, Major League Baseball is doing a whole investigation as to why the Miami Marlins had this happen to them. We all know why. A couple guys went out in Atlanta. They went to a strip club, and they came home, and they got sick, and they got everybody else sick. So we all know why, and they'll tell us why. But
I think here's the difference. Here's the difference, because that's a great point you bring up, that the other 29 teams are doing a really good job with
it.
And this goes to my point, I think. Baseball might be able to get away with a one-team outbreak because of the way the game is played. You're outdoors. You're not on top of one another. And there's not the constant physical contact against each other. That's the problem with the NBA, the NHL, and football. On every single play, you're breathing all over one another. You're killing each other. So it's bound to happen, which is why what the NBA and NHL are doing, I think, will work and certainly has worked up to this point. That's the problem for football. I think baseball's different, and they can get away with it and control it a little better. I don't think the NBA and NHL could if they were in their home cities and home stadiums.
You know, if the NFL does get off the ground, the first 4 weeks of football, there'll be some teams that will be ahead of others. Like, you know, Kansas City will have Patrick Mahomes running all over the place, making plays. Lamar Jackson will be running all over the place, making plays. I don't necessarily know that. You know, defenses are going to be ready for that. You know, they're just not going to be ready for the speed. They're not going to be ready for the explosiveness of some players. But then there are going to be those teams that just come out of the gate and just are awful.
Terrible.
But I will say, I given what's going on in New England, and I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, for all these years that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have owned the AFC East, think of the quarterbacks that they've had to play against since they were together for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now Tom Brady finds himself in the NFC, and he's got other all-pro, pro bowl caliber quarterbacks in two of the three teams And Teddy Bridgewater, some would say, is probably one of the better stories in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years, given the fact that he's come all the way back and played well for the New Orleans Saints the last couple of years. Now Tom Brady finds himself in that division with Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. So it's not going to be nearly as easy. But over in the AFC East, man, it's to be had now. I mean, you have all these players opting out for the New England Patriots. They don't know what they're going to be doing with their quarterback situation. And I would like to think that the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins probably all think that they finally have a legitimate shot at a AFC Eastern title after 20 years.
I couldn't agree more, because if you look at what the Patriots are now, and now with all these opt-outs, we thought that the division was wide. Now, I think most people would say it's always going to be the Patriots' division to lose until they lose it, because of Brady gone. That said, if they ever figured out a way, and they played, to win this division, I mean, think about all the times we've said this. This could be Belichick's best year ever of coaching, which would be remarkable. But yeah, it's why if you're the Bills and you took that next step last year, you take another step this year, go win the division. If you're the Jets and you've got, what is this, year three of Sam Darnold now, I guess? I don't know, you count last year with the mono. But yeah, this is year three in the system. This is your year. Go after it. You made good improvements that back half of the season last year. This is it. If you're the Dolphins, you got a new quarterback. He's a rookie. I get it. But give yourself – why the hell not us?
See, but I don't know if that rookie's going to start, just like I don't think the rookie's going to start out in L.A. for the Chargers either. So I don't think Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa are going to be starting. I do think Joe Burrow's going to be starting, and it's going to be a real eye-opening for him. But – the thing is I don't think football is going to be all that great when it first starts.
No, it's going to. I think the first couple weeks are going to have a preseason feel to them. I really do. And we're still a long ways away from that. I mean, we haven't even gotten to, the point where we can even think about football, because as we talked about yesterday, it's August 17th before we will see, real football practices take place. So we're nowhere even near thinking about that. And with all these outbreaks you've talked about, not outbreaks, excuse me, positive tests, if there are more. It's weird. I wonder sometimes if you're better off getting them now and getting them out of the way. And this goes back to that college football conversation that we had last month.
Yes.
As bad as that is,
campus, get them sick and get it over with.
As bad as that is, the other part of you would say, as long as they're okay and they get through it, those 51 guys, you don't have to worry about going forward. But yeah. I don't. The whole thing is so damn
tricky.
Remember
this too. NFL facilities have not been open. So these guys have not been with each other.
Right.
So, they're getting COVID somewhere else. They're not getting it at the facilities. They're showing up, they're being tested, and they're coming back positive. Now, some of them may be asymptomatic, but they still are testing positive, and this is why they're being put into quarantine. It's going to be really, really interesting to watch these first, if they can get them off, the first 3 to 4 weeks of the NFL season. And to me, they were talking about one of the problems between the CBA, between the NFLPA and the owners, was the whole testing protocol. And the players wanted to be tested every day. I don't blame the players. I think they should be tested every day. I think it's the only way. And there has to be a prick, that blood prick test of your finger has to be here now. It's got to come, because it's a 20-minute test, and it gives you the answer, supposedly. And it's not here yet. So I don't know. It's amazing the effect that it's having on the one league. We all thought once we got through the summer, this thing was going to calm down like the flu does, and they were going to be able to play. And now you have all these guys opting out. You have all these guys on a COVID-19 list, which amount to 91 players. Now, that's about, I would say, a little bit less than, 8% of the league?
Sure.
So, who knows where we're going to be in 2 weeks with this, when everybody finally gets to their facilities and we start actually playing football and having the ball in the air coming out of the quarterback's hand when he's licking his fingers and things. Who knows?
Well, the one thing, too, here's the other thing, and this is something that's been discussed over and over, too, and the personal responsibility aspect of this. The one thing I'm pretty clear that I believe in is that whoever tests positive, it's never going to be the fault of the team or the league, because these teams and leagues have gone over and over the moon to make sure that their facilities are clean. that the protocols are in place. It's going to be what happens when they leave. Just look at even the story today that I was reading about the Rutgers football team. And so you've got, you know, I guess a good handful of those players testing positive. So they've paused their workouts, and now it's coming back to the idea that a bunch of athletes on campus went to a party.
Of course. I mean,
it's very much like what the Marlins thing is. We're talking about someone went to a club somewhere in Atlanta or a party, and that's where you wind up bringing it back in. I'm pretty sure Rutgers had a handle on keeping everything safe and clean. But if you're not doing your part, and they're 18 to 22-year-olds, I understand, and they feel like they're bulletproof, and they're not. No one at that age is, even if they think that. The fact of the matter is, you're bringing it in. Whether you're a college kid or a professional athlete or someone just going into the office place like me, there's got to be some sort of responsibility, and it's on you to do the right thing. Eddie Scazzeri's been here every single day since this outbreak. I'm pretty sure Eddie's not partying with 75 people every Friday night doing Jello shots. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Eddie's not doing that. I don't think he's doing car bombs and you know, trying to beat guys in competition at closed down bars. And doing underground things to bring this in.
You got to
do the right thing.
Right. And if you do look at the science will tell you that 99.9% of the people in that age group and younger are going to be fine if, in fact, they get COVID-19. They will get through it. They're not dying. They'll be fine. There'll be the occasional guy that ends up having some other issue that may crop up because of COVID-19. But you could say that just about anything. You know, and I understand that, you know, when you look at the overall total numbers and you lose over 150,000 people in this country alone to COVID-19, you have to take a look at the science. You have to take a look at the age groupings. You have to take a look at why these people died, what decisions were made, who made those decisions, and why they are wrong. So with everything else, it's like you're learning on the go and you're trying to figure it all out. And I think we've kind of figured a lot of it out. But we also know that we have better testing now than we did 4 months ago. We have more testing now than we did 4 months ago. It's easier to get tested now than we did than it was 4 months ago. So we're getting a lot more numbers back. I would just say that age group, pretty much, if somebody gets it, you watch. This is going to be interesting because the Marlins, I think, either have 18 or 19 players slash
I think it's
personnel.
16 players, two coaches, I believe.
All right, so it's 18 total.
I think so.
We will see in 2 weeks. What these players look like when they come back, you know, and is anybody going to go through what Freddie Freeman went through?
Who seems to be the exception, not the rule, obviously.
Because look, DJ LeMahieu went through it.
Didn't even know he was sick. Didn't
even
know he
had it.
Yeah, no, he was one. He said he was surprised he tested positive.
Right.
You know, there's been a lot of these guys, you know, that they go in, they take the test, they think they're good. No, sir, you're positive. I mean, look at what Juan Soto went through with the Nationals. I mean, it's been, and here's the other thing about the responsibility part of it. When you're not doing your part, it shuts everything down. Even though what you're saying is not wrong, that age grouping, 99% of those people will come through it fine. The problem is the cause and the effect. The effect of that happening literally shuts the game down or shuts your team down.
And remember,
that's a big problem.
And remember when this first thing started, there was a guy that was not taking it seriously, was acting like a jackass, and his name was Rudy Gobert. And the NBA shut down.
Immediately.
They were the first one to shut down, and then everybody followed suit right after that because Rudy Gobert was touching all the microphones, screwing around with his teammates. One of his teammates comes down with it. I mean, you know, and that's where it all started. At least for sports, anyway.
Yeah, no,
that's
no
where it all started.
Never forget sitting in that arena in Indianapolis when that announcement came up. You're right.
And that's why it's mind-boggling that players, in this case on the Marlins, I guess they forgot about that. Maybe they didn't even know about it. Who knows what these kids know these days? All they know is that they got to get out of the hotel room. They got to go hang out. They got to go put themselves in harm's way. And I can't wait to hear the real report from Major League Baseball after the investigation is over with. And I hope that they are totally transparent about it and who did what and how they believe it happened. But again, they were in Atlanta for a series, I guess an exhibition series, and a couple of the fellas went out, and next thing you know, you got 18 guys that have tested positive.
I'd be stunned if they released the names of the one or two that spread it.
And the other ridiculous thing is now baseball, and it's not ridiculous because I think you have to add this particular person to your traveling team. It's a COVID protocol person.
Yeah.
Because obviously Don Mattingly and Derek Jeter had no idea what the hell they were doing, because these players either were not told, or these players don't have the respect for them, and they went out and did what they did. And that's why this investigative report by MLB is going to be really, really important to find out exactly what the players were told, who told the players, and whether the players even knew about the situations that they were putting their teammates and other teams in.
I can tell you this. I could be wrong about this, but I would bet almost everything I have that you will not find one member of the Yankees doing what these guys did.
Not even close.
These guys are focused. They want to play. They want to win. And they're not interested in the nonsense. And that's a credit to them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.